Welcome to episode 175 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
On OnlyFans.
Not yet. We should do that, though. That would be good. I mean, no one would want to see anything, but we can do other stuff than just, you know, smut.
Is there non-smut things on OnlyFans?
Yeah. I mean, it was initially intended for non-smut things, and now it has just been taken over by smut things, because that's the internet.
Oh.
This is Steve, a.k.a. Killwaggy. With me, as always, Scott Prime. How's it going, Scott?
I'm premium Scott Prime, so if we have a OnlyFans, you're going to have to pay the premium price.
It's to Scott get my premium. Content. And I am Dongawaggy.
You're who?
Dongawaggy.
Dongawaggy. I thought we were going to be smut free.
We can. I mean, it's still smut. On there, and it's just a good different name.
I'll just hang out like on Wednesday nights when Jennifer is watching Survivor, and for like 2 hours, you can just come in and ask me questions and make me mad.
People would pay for that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They'd be like, is this team name Both Down? And I'd be like, oh, my God, this is so awful.
It's the four donkey men of the apocalypse. Get it?
Get it? They're riding donkeys. Oh, there's some bad ones.
We know.
We had to do a...
Did we ever find out who won the Brewhouse Pearl? Did you ever give in your input?
I did give in my input, but there were so many bad names. If you went to the Brewhouse Brawl... Except for about, like, two people. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves for your team names. Like, my brain just does not understand how people can play a game based on kind of like a weird rugby soccer football game and just come up with these terrible team names. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Grant, who runs it, has been kind enough to let us choose the winner of the best team name for many, many years now. And of course, I always defer to Scott because otherwise I get yelled at.
Yep. That's true. But. And almost every year it gets worse and worse.
I think it might be on purpose now.
Probably. It probably really is. I get there's this great humor, but all it really makes me think about is like how terrible these, like, I don't want to play games with these people.
Yeah. Although that's kind of most people right now for you.
What's that? They don't want to play games with me?
No, you don't want to play games with them.
Are we talking Blood Bowl?
No, you were talking about getting burned out a while back.
Oh, the burnout for Blood Bowl is still currently here. I'm trying to just relax. There's a tournament this weekend down in Dallas, but my daughter has a Winter Guard event, so... The built-in excuses is I'm going to my daughter's event, but the real honest reason is I wouldn't mind actually going to hang out with people, but I sure don't want to play Blood Bowl currently. So,
well, I guess we can tell people in a month or so we actually will be at a tournament together playing on a team.
Oh, I thought you were gonna like keep that a big secret thing.
No.
Are we supposed to? We're gonna let the cat out of the bag. It's too late now. I mean, okay. I know you can edit this, but you're lazy, so you're not going to.
Not that lazy, but I mean, I could if I cared, but I don't.
Yeah, so I guess the next event that I don't see any reason why I can't go is, what is it, last weekend of April?
Yeah, April 26th, Twin Cities Tango in Dallas, Texas.
Well, Mike Patterson already told me him and... Dave Hanrath are a team, so everybody else, you're pretty close to fighting for second. So,
yeah. Initially, I know I talked to some people about this. I planned on running a weekend of three events in the Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas area. However, due to family issues, I've decided to postpone that and go to Dallas anyways. So as I had extra time and was going to Dallas, I just kind of stumbled upon this being an event. And where it's a team event, I was like, heck yeah, Scott and I, let's boom, let's go, let's do it.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if we have, maybe try to have some fun. I might just take a crappy team and just see what happens. No expectations when you start at the bottom, right?
Right.
So, league play.
Yeah.
If we're going to keep talking about Blood Bowl.
This is my a Blood vampires, Bowl podcast. So.
I average giving 4.75 casualties away per game.
That's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. There was a zombie in the last game who had 6 one die blocks. He never paid for it. He always rolled a pow, and he ended up getting 3 casualties. God. It was amazing. So I can't complain yet. I haven't been beat yet in league play yet, but he wrecked my team. Coy, if you're listening, because I know you listen to the podcast, you ruined my team, and I got to play the number one team in the league. And I'm only down to 8 players for this game. So Jeez. Lots of journeymen.
But at least they're all thralls, right?
At least they're all thralls. So
ultimately, who cares?
Yeah, my choices are spend the 170 I have, buy 4 thralls, and have 1 bench player.
Mm-hmm.
Or buy a blitzer, vampire blitzer, or buy a Vargeist, and then take the rest in journeymen. Or just do the best I can with the 3 journeyman thralls plus the team I have, get the little bit of inducements that I would get, and try to just do my best with that. Because, you know, the way our league's arranged, you know, you're just kind of building up your team for the big playoff run mm-hmm. when we do the final season tournament. So I think I need to really think of the longer, bigger picture here instead of like throwing everything I can at him this one game. So
yeah, and
I'm not looking forward to the game because I'm already outmanned, you know, 8 guys to 13 before we start. I mean, but I'll have some journeyman. You're right,
that's good.
I just hope the average of nearly 5 casualties. I think I have 3 total casualties all season.
Yeah.
This is in 4 games, and I've given up almost 20.
That's just not right.
That doesn't count the casualties I've given to myself as well.
Of course, yeah. And that's going to be, you know, a lot.
So, fun times. Play vampires. It'll be fun. Everybody else does great with them, except you. Yay. No, I finally finished painting that team, though.
That's good.
I painted enough to play the league, and so I still had, like, 7 total players left. Both Vargeist that I have. I have 2 models of that. Mm-hmm. And then I had like 5 other players, the journeyman, thralls, a sideline piece that's like a vampire head on a thrall body so I could have like a cheerleader or coach or whatever. Okay. I like to do different stuff with my when I have extra things. So I even painted him with the light skin and stuff so he looks like he's like coming at you and stuff.
Huh.
But it's really meant to be like the cheerleader piece or another like assistant coach for the team. But I did put a number on them in case I need them for an example like this weekend when I'm going to play with all these journeymen stuff. So the journeymen have no helmets. That's the gimmick. And this, I feel like I'm getting paid, punished because I bought 2 boxes to get more heads with the helmet on and some extra thralls. And I thought, if I think that they're going to have armor, good armor, because they're totally equipped, they won't get hurt as much. And that has not been the case this season. So it is what it is. But I just got to base my guys. And then I'll finally have that like 23-player team complete or whatever. So anyway, still painting some.
Well, that's good. Speaking of painting, if anyone out there would like to do some commission painting or some volunteer painting for Oklahoma Bowl, let me know.
Need some painters?
Painters are always appreciated, yes.
I got you. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Not only have you knocked off a number in your playing in every states,
mm-hmm.
you've ran a tournament.
Mm-hmm. 2 of them.
And I don't really understand the name of it, so I'm going to wait till that segment to ask you all these weird questions.
Oh, I guess. Okay, yeah.
We have NAF stuff to talk about. We need your response to the World Cup to talk about.
Yep.
I also probably have my opinions. I just don't know if I should speak them because I don't want people to hate us.
Yeah, they're not going to hate us.
So we have a lot to talk about. So should we just kind of wrap this up and then get to our segments?
Do we want to save what the last segment is until we do it then?
I can't remember. I couldn't remember it off the top of my head.
It was Oklahoma and Spiky Cup.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got news on Oklahoma Spiky Cup. Sorry, okay. I forgot about that.
No worries. Thought maybe you were just like, it's a secret.
Well, it's not really a secret. If anything, we're kind of behind on it. So
it's only 3 months. I mean, yeah. We probably could have done it sooner, but was waiting on a few things, and they finally got sorted out. So, whatever.
All right, yes, I got a lot of, like, NAF questions that I'm hoping you can answer, because I've asked around the few people, but they're not, like, super in the know, and I think you're not only in the NAF, but you do something or whatever.
I'm pretty in the know.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, I'm Mr. Nosy. Fancy Pants. All right. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and get to our segments.
Both Down is brought to you by BigDealSwag.com. Check out Big Deal Swag for all your tournament swag and Both Down needs. Welcome back. This segment, we're going to talk about what is going on with the NAF, because I'm sure a lot of people have questions, and the NAF, being the NAF, is not so great at putting stuff out there.
Okay. So, yes, I'm also going to ask my World Cup stuff to you, but we're going to do that second. I think the bigger news really here is, let me see if I have this right.
Yep.
We had a president that got voted in.
Mm-hmm.
And after not too long, this is the guy that wanted to bring back Bretonians. Am I correct?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Like, he made that like a big point, like having nobility is not enough. We need the Bretonians back for whatever reason.
Which I will flat out state is the dumbest thing ever. I've had this conversation with other people. The imperial nobility is Bretonians. They have one extra position and they have like one different skill. Shut up. Like, that's no different than the old Amazon versus the new Amazon. You know, they would have just kept the name. Nobody would be complaining.
Right.
But whatever.
And besides, you're allowed to role play things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a friend, Steve Eckert. He had a religious team. He got some miniatures that look like characters from, like, back when Jesus was around, and he just made them Nurgle. And instead of them being ugly, they were like blessed and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they were so. And if they infected you and you came over to their team, you became a disciple. You were not infected.
Right.
You were inspired to go to them. So anyways, you can do that with whatever.
Yeah.
And yes, I agree. I can't believe like that was a real thing, but whatever. He's no longer the president.
No, he is not.
Because we saw like a post or an email, or I can't remember where I saw it. Maybe it was on the Blood Bowl community page on Facebook. But basically ousted?
Yeah.
For what reasons? So, do you know?
Oh, I absolutely do. Yeah.
And if you cannot say stuff,
no.
Just flat out tell me. Because I really don't know.
I should be able to say pretty much anything I want, because this is my opinion. And based on the information that I've seen, I am not a NAF representative in this capacity. I do not speak for the NAF, but I can say what happened, and I'm not going to get into.
And whatever you say, devices. This is not like a judgment on like this guy's a bad person or a
no.
good person.
I think
this
he's probably just a fine person, but, and I'll be abstract to some extent, but the general consensus was he came in with a differing idea of what the role of president was. And he believed he should be able to make changes carte blanche and not get too much feedback. So he came in essentially stating he had a mandate.
This sounds familiar.
Pretty much, yeah. He came in stating he had a mandate to restore Bretonians as a team. And it was brought to the committee, because that's how the NAF is ran, by committee. And the committee voted it down. And he's got upset by that and believed it should be taken to the public for a vote. And again, the committee was like, no, there's no need. So after that, there's differing accounts. One is his account, and one is everyone else's account. And when I say his vice president also backed him up. But of course, if you were my vice president, you would back me up too. So I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying that it is not a... This kind of comes back to my job, like with insurance. When I'm doing liability, he's an interested party. They pretty much all are, but I have to take it as it is, you know.
So is the vice... I forgot.
He's
Do we
he's
actually appointed. Vote, no. vote for a vice president, or is it assigned, or is it like the guy who was second for the presidency?
The president picks him.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying is like... He has a vested interest in what the president states.
Okay.
So, according to most of the people, he did not get his way with the Bretonians and essentially withdrew from the role. He stopped attending meetings. He stopped providing any input. He just stopped being president and didn't do any official actions. Now, on their side, they say that they were trying to say that the NAF was basically racist and they didn't like him because he was Spanish and refused to listen to him because he was Spanish. And then whatever else came from that, he said that he was still doing stuff behind the scenes, but he was putting everything through the vice president because he knew that if he presented something, then they would shut it down. Doesn't seem logical. So essentially what happened is the NAF committee sat for a while and was trying to decide what to do. And they tried to reach out to him to see if he would step aside. And they tried to reach out to other people to see if he would talk to him about stepping aside. Because if you don't want to be president, fine, just don't be president. But don't take up the role when it's needed. Then... it came to a point where it was clear he wasn't going to abdicate, so they were going to vote to remove him. Right before that came to be, and keep in mind, there were six people on the committee. One of those people, Trylon Moore, I'm sure I'm screwing up how to say his name, is a membership director, and he is long, long-standing membership director. He does an amazing job, does a lot of work. The first time that he interacted with the president was when the president told him he wanted to remove him. And it seemed a very clearly politically driven, motivated idea to remove him and put in another person loyal to the president, which then would be 3-on-3 on a vote. So
is this the NAF stuff or is this America stuff?
I know it is. Eerily similar.
I laugh as I cry, everybody. We know everybody hates us. We know.
We get it. Don't blame you. So that move was shot down, and there was some discrepancy in the charter as if the president had that power. So they finally decided to take the issue to the Board of Ethics, which obviously is new and therefore not in the charter, but they were seen as a disinterested third party who is made up of people who are trying to do the best. So they have a background in mediation and attempting to resolve issues like this. And when they presented the information to the Board of Ethics, I'm a little cloudy on this part of it, but I believe they gave their blessing, I guess, or the buy-in on proceeding with an election to remove the president. So basically an impeachment. So that's what they did. They went ahead and put forward the impeachment vote. Before they did that, they gave 2 weeks, I think it was 2 weeks or 1 week, whatever it was, to allow everyone to voice their complaints and respond to those complaints, and for the general people to ask questions as well. this was open to like 96 people, something like that, or 80. And it was all regional coordinators, national coordinators, stuff like that. So
okay.
I was one of them. That's why I have all this information. So in the process of putting forth everything, most of the committee who was on the side of ousting was very vocal that he just stopped attending, refused to abdicate, was being dismissive. Oh, also, before the vote happened, he decided to go on a Spanish podcast and try to control the narrative, again, by saying the NAF committee was being racist towards Spanish and all this, and trying to do it in secret, and not going according to the charter, and all this type of stuff. It was very not a good look, I will say. So that's taken into consideration as well. Again, I tried to be neutral in this because obviously I'm not part of that committee. I have people I know that is, and I could easily be swayed in thinking one thing based on their opinions because I respect them and know them. And I will say that the people I know tend to all to have the same story and more information that they didn't want to bring up to try to... They were not trying to smear this guy. Like, they were just trying to be honest and upfront and saying the reason to do it. In all the discussions, the main thing that I wanted answered that did not get answered appropriately to me was the reason for the attempted removal of Trilamore, because he's done nothing but a great job, and it appeared solely a political act to try to keep the vote from happening, based on everything. And the response to why was, I could. That was it. That was his whole response of why he could do it. I could, so.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Right. It's scary. It's pathetic. So, like I said, there was plenty of time for both sides to present their issues to the voting contingent. I will say a lot of people, and I'm going to say this not as a thing about the community, but a lot of Spanish people came on after the election and said that things should have been more public. That's not the way this works. Like, I understand they probably are given false information and believe that this wasn't carried out correctly. It was 100% carried out correctly. It was carried out according to the charter, which is public, which everyone knows exists, which everyone reads, and which everyone who's elected is bound to. So the vote was held. It was essentially a 4-to-1 ratio of out versus in. So it's not like it was a 50-50. It's not like it's, you know, only a few people made the difference. Of the people that voted, it was an overwhelming majority to remove him because of his lack of just doing anything. As I said, a lot of flack from the public about, well, why don't we get to see the questions? Why don't we know exactly what he did? You know, why aren't we told? This seems like it's being done in secret, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, you're part of a membership. You're not part of the inner circle. That's just how it works. You know, if you're in a golf club or a yacht club, it's all rich stuff. If you're in another gaming group, whatever it is, if there's a board that has some type of control over stuff, if they have internal disputes, it's not made public. It just isn't. I don't know what the expectation there was, but they were trying to paint this as some coup. Like the committee was just wanting to get rid of him to put someone else in power. No. The charter states explicitly that if he's removed, the vice president takes control. The vice president who he put in there. So the vice president immediately becomes president, and in his only act, he resigns and calls for a new election of a president. And I don't know what's going to happen there. But what the main fallout of this is there's been a lot of talk previous to this that the NAF charter and the organization itself needed to be revamped. It's outgrown what it was. We're entering a different time. There needs to be some changes to it. And this really put into focus that that has to be done. So that's the priority number one right now, is there's a group of people put together, which I may or may not be part of. I believe we can say that I am, but I'm not positive, so I'm not going to. That are being tasked with an overall evaluation of the NAF as a whole, redoing the charter, getting official legal status figured out, even though it is a nonprofit station in America, all this fun stuff. But we're trying to redo everything from the bottom up to make it better and more logical and more public. And in order to change anything, obviously we have to get this done. And according to the charter, we have to present it to the voting public and have them vote for it. So there will be feedback, there will be taking stuff into consideration, all this fun stuff. What does that mean for the NAF? Does it currently exist as anything more? I don't think it means anything to most people. Like, if you run events, it's still the same thing. But if you're on the upper levels and you're worried about how things are funded, how the membership drives are going to go, how loans to big events might happen, or, you know, elections or anything like that, this is going to have some bearing on it. It's just going to be interesting.
Okay. So is this the first time somebody's been impeached of their position? I mean, any position.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's never been an issue before. Oh. So one interesting thing, and I joked about this, but I was kind of halfway serious, but mainly in a joking way. According to the charter, this is an example of how the charter now isn't great. According to the charter, the president can remove anyone from the NAF at any time just by refunding their money that they've ever put into it. So, theoretically, if I became president of the NAF, I could remove everybody in the NAF from being a member of the NAF. Then I would be the only person left. Which means,
well, you'd be ranked number one.
I would. But also, I would be the treasurer. I would be the vice president. I would be every part of the NAF, which means I alone have control of the funds. Which means I could steal all the money and run off with the Dark Side Cowboys cheerleaders.
Wow.
I mean, how fluffy is that?
You're like Nick Threehorn, huh?
I know. I could have pulled a Threehorn.
Okay. So that's the story.
Yeah, and like I said, there's been a lot of grumbling from what appears to be primarily the Spanish community. I don't hold that against them. I just firmly believe that they were not provided the correct information, and they were given, you know, bad information by bad actors.
Okay. Well, I do not have a lot to say on this, just mainly because it doesn't change anything from my perspective. I'm still run tournaments. I know, like, the stats and stuff are still being uploaded and entered and all that stuff. So it doesn't change it from my end.
It could later on. I mean,
I will say this. While a lot of people voted, not a lot of people voted.
Yes. That's one thing, too, is he kept trying to have this get on the cross of, you know, the people's mandate. I was voted in to do this. You know, this is the popular opinion. No, he got voted in by, I think it was 1,100 people that voted for president, and he got less than half the votes.
Yeah, I mean, there was like three people at the time, if I remember right.
Yeah, Craig and Grant split the North American vote. So, or whatever you want to say. And if you did a ranked choice voting, most likely he doesn't become president. Or if you do absolute majority instead of simple majority, I had to think of the word, then there would be a runoff between the top two people. Mm. Either one of those would be better. But he kept trying to say that he has a mandate from the people to put Bretonians back in and blah, blah, blah. No, not even close. The mandate of the people is they don't care.
I don't go to a ton of tournaments, but I've never heard one person go, sure miss Bretonians.
Well, some people will be running events for them just to get, you know, their NAF info done or to get them up to 10 played games. Like,
somebody, it's still a thing, Bretonians.
You can play a 2016 tournament.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Stop it.
If somebody, say, like, wanted to follow Mike Davies' step and get every team to double digits, then they would have to run an event sometime in July. And
oh, God. Are you doing this, you moron?
We'll have more information about that later.
Oh, my God, dude. If you ever run for NAP president, I'm not voting for you either, because I'd like to oust you already for some of your shenanigans. How about that?
Okay.
Unless you're going to make me vice president and the treasurer and something else.
I can't do multiple, but yeah.
You could kick everybody else out and I could be like half the rankings.
I would like to think that they will close that loophole.
That is a strange loophole. Okay.
When I read that, I was like, oh, my God, I could do this.
Of course you thought about it. After our last podcast,
yep.
World Cup stuff came out.
Yep.
It was unfortunately exactly what I thought deep down months before the vote. Yeah. Now, I must admit, I was kind of made to believe or having those positive vibes that we had a chance. And this is...
We did up until... I mean, it all comes down to Trump, realistically. If he didn't get elected, everything goes differently. If he was even close to sane at the time of the election, maybe it goes differently. But the election coming after his inauguration and just every attempt to destroy the country? Yeah, not so much.
I will say I do believe some politics, this is my opinion and it's going to probably really upset some people. And number one, I do not have a problem with like European people. So don't think I'm like just after you guys. The truth is, for example, I don't want Chaos Cup to leave America.
No,
because it's the one major that I can go travel to at least easier than anything else. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if I lived in Europe, and we can agree that Europe is smaller than the whole United States, right? So yeah, you can drive easily everywhere and everything else. I too would want it close. I mean, I was more than happy that we might had a small chance for a World Cup. And I was even more happy, even though it might have been boring for me because I've been to Dallas 400 times in my life. I was also very happy it was only 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Because in theory, I could drive down every day and then drive back home if I really wanted to. But luckily, I had friends. So I understand if any European goes, dude, I want to keep it close so I can go. I totally get that. I was of the private belief before, and I still am, that I do not, until I see it, I do not believe that the World Cup will ever leave Europe.
I will bet you,
maybe that is the best place for it.
No.
Because we're obsessed now with numbers on attendance. We do the same thing. Every year I go, oh, we only have 45 people for Oklahoma Bowl and all this stuff. But 10 years ago, if you told me 13 years in the future, Scott, you're going to have 45 people here, I'd be like so happy.
Yeah.
But I know there's a problem that if you move it to Australia or somewhere like that, that, you know, like, or New Zealand or whoever, that not so many people would go. I am still firm until it goes out of Europe. I do not believe that the World Cup is ever moving out of there. It's just a glorified another Euro Bowl type deal, in my opinion.
And I understand that, but the problem is, and I know I'm biased because obviously I put in the bid, but I've had too many people reach out to me going, we know it needs to leave Europe and it will be sooner than later. You know, they understand it's a World Cup and it needs to come to America to build the community. America will surpass every other country before the next World Cup in players. I'm going to see to that. Like,
okay.
I'm working on plans. I'm going to make America great again.
God damn it. Sorry. Now, people are going to think that like, we're a bunch of MAGA dudes.
No, but what I mean is, that felt dirty.
I believe what you're saying
yeah?
about the political stuff. But when I saw the votes, there was only like 20-something votes. And I bet you money those were only from Americans.
Yeah.
And Canadians only.
And trust like, me, I understand that. That's, I know, and we came in third place.
I don't believe anybody. I'm just saying.
Dude, we may not be a democracy in 3 years. Straight up, no lie.
Well, that's true.
And
I mean,
we've got, I am disheartened that we did not get the World Cup. I completely understand it. And after the last month, I'm glad we didn't get it. We've got Canada, Germany, Poland, and England all issuing travel advisories to go to America.
You're not wrong. So I will say maybe everybody was just looking towards that. And if so, good on you.
Yeah. I will also say, without saying too much, that my next bid will be even better than the last one. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because I've got better connections now.
Ooh, look at this guy.
We can talk about that later.
Okay. All right, Mr. Big Talker. Anyways, after seeing the votes, I thought if a few people still wanted to come visits and stuff like that, I thought the vote, I thought you were going to lose, but by the end of it, I was like, holy crap, we really might win this thing. Yeah. And then when we saw the votes, I was like, God dang it.
I was gutted.
My friend didn't have a chance. And I still believe you didn't have a chance. And I'm not blaming anybody from Europe. Again, put Chaos Cup in Arkansas. That'd even be better for me because I could just travel an hour away. I'm just saying that'd be terrible. But yeah. Sorry, Arkansas people.
No offense to Arkansas.
Your state might be more boring than Oklahoma. you have caverns, though. That's good.
Hey,
that's
Eureka good. Springs is awesome.
But, yeah, there's areas. It's true. Just like there is in Oklahoma.
So again, like I said, I know what you're saying. And if we'd come in second, it's weird. Like, I was gutted we came in third because we put on a better bid than our votes reflect. But
I expected you to get, from all the like rah-rah hype, you finished about where I thought when you first started this journey. And then after all the rah-rah hype and seeing y'all's bid, I had nothing to do with this. I'm just a guy looking. And then when I see the video and all that stuff, I'm like, holy shit, these guys got their shit together. They're playing for real.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really proud of these guys, this committee and everything, because this looks really professional. I know politics played a thing in it, but I would have thought you at least got second.
Me too. But the fact that we didn't furthers the idea that it was a vote against policies. And that makes sense. Because if it was just, I don't know if I want the location or I don't want to travel that far, we'd get second just based on the quality of the bid and the split European vote. But the combined European vote says no America. And it's not because of our bid. It's not because of the location. It's not because of the slight increase in cost. it's because of the politics. And if people don't like that, that's tough. I don't care. It is what it is.
Okay. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
And I hope we can survive another almost 4 years. And I hope some big changes if people wake up. I don't want us to be... I don't know anybody that likes the direction we're going. So and that includes...
Yep. Skip.
People in my family who voted for... maybe said person.
Right.
They're not real happy. They're like, holy crap, if I knew we were going to get President Elon, I don't think I would have done this.
But. It's a real shock when, you know, everything was pointed. Anyways, on a happier note,
yes.
Malta did win the bid. And yes. They had a solid bid. They've ran the Euro Bowl before. They're going to hold it in an esports arena. It's
okay,
going to be
awesome. You had just answered my question. I was wondering if they held big events before, because yeah. I just know Malta is like, oh, it's a small little island. Blah,
no, it
blah,
is.
Blah.
It's a tiny little island. They did it, but 2 years ago, they held Euro Bowl, and everyone
okay,
seemed to have a great time. So that obviously helped their bid, because they've had the experience.
Good. I did not know this information.
And it's also cool, because they've got Popeye Island, or Popeye City, or whatever you want to call it. So the movie Popeye was filmed there.
Oh, that's
and they
cool.
still have the set.
Really?
Yeah. So I get to go visit it.
Oh.
I say we, because you're going.
Right.
You are going.
Right. Okay. Right. I'm going. I can't wait to see Popeye. I used to love that movie as a kid. I wonder if it still holds up.
It does.
It does?
It's so you have to be in the right mental space for it. Like, you can't expect it to be as good as nowadays movies or whatever, but yeah, I still love it.
Shelley Duvall still hot?
What? When was she ever
she
hot?
She was never hot.
Okay,
like, that's the joke. She's okay. Never hot.
All love to her. Like, she did. She's a great actress and all that. But no.
Malta. That is in 2027.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Big props to them. Funny thing is, I actually was the one that told him he got the win, because they thought that the bid was going to be finalized in the morning. And I'm like, no, it's supposed to come out like now, midnight. He goes, really? Oh, I guess I'll have to stay up and listen to it. And I saw it, and then I immediately sent him a message, go, congratulations. And he goes, did they release it? I go, yeah, they did. And you got it.
Well,
and I truly mean, like, of all the bids, if I could not vote for mine, I would vote for Malta. No shade on the other two. Some shade on New Zealand. Like, come on, guy. We can have a talk about that one. If you want to put in a bid, you got to do a little bit more than that. Dijon seemed interesting, but Malta, having ran the big event, having Popeye Village, and... the fact that as we ran, the guy there was very vocal in backing us up as a solid bid and just being a solid person. So
that's good.
And
I'm glad you told me about the Euro Bowl and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I did not know they did that. So that's better. That's good knowledge. And so, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it is what it is. If anyone has any questions, you can message me. I'm happy to talk about it. I did hand over all the World Cup information to them, all the socials. So.
Oh, I heard everybody was so mad because you grabbed up like the World Cup page or something like that.
So it's stupid.
I was thinking like I could start fighting with people going like, he's not going to keep it if he doesn't get it.
Yeah. And it was there. I mean, anyone could have done it 10 years ago. Like,
right.
Remember who got the NAFS Twitter and all that? That was me. Way back in the day, they didn't have anything set up. I grabbed it. And then I very graciously donated it to them.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
it is what it is.
Yeah. I realize, like, don't argue with people online. It doesn't matter.
It can.
You're never going to change anybody's opinion. So
you say that, but I have in discussions, and well, that's one thing. You got to take people's criticisms to heart, you know. They're saying stuff for a reason, and if it's valid, then discuss it and point out the opposite sides. So we had someone who was very against the idea of Texas because of the trans issues. And I was able to have a discussion with them. They came around and said, while it may not be for them, they believed that it would be a safe and opening environment. And et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter at this point. But it was a good experience. So, it's disheartening, like I said. But we'll just give us more to do for the next one.
Real quick on that.
Yeah.
Because this is my only voice that goes out to the world. While I know some crazy stuff is going on here, and there is mean and evil people here, just like there's mean and evil people in other countries. and I know they're getting a lot of press, and I know they're getting a lot of policies passed through. I can say from my perspective, now, once again, I don't hang out with a lot of people like that. So my perspective is very swayed. I work at a comic store where there is tons of trans people that come in there. And I, until recently, didn't realize like we were like a little safe. They know it's a safe spot. So I do not see whether I'm in Texas or traveling up to Nebraska. I do not see this hate towards gay or trans people like the news or whatever yeah. wants to reflect. So at least from my point of view, it's not great here at the time. And it is scary because we're like just a couple steps away from being scary. It's also not everybody's like that. And I also include some of those people in my family who are voted one way. They're not against everything. You know what I mean? So I guess that's all I'm saying. It's
yeah. It's
I mean, I understand the valid fears because this is the truth. 20 years ago, if I said, hey, grandma, I'm going to Europe, she's going to go, oh, my God, everybody steals over there. Everybody this, you know, like you hear it if people go to Brazil, like you can't walk the streets with money because everybody's going to steal things. I know that bad stuff's out there, but there's also a lot of good stuff in every country, and not everybody is like the regime that's currently in control.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, I've said my piece about it, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. So we got cleared up the NAF stuff. We cleared up the World Cup stuff. We got your opinion finally, even though it's like old news. I guess we will take a break and come back and talk about some tournaments, right?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I haven't been playing a lot of Blood Bowl outside the league. Steve, of course, has to go to every town, you know, on the other side of the Mississippi because he's having a contest or he's marking off every town or something like this.
Not town, state.
Anyways, you got number 25.
I did. I got to Washington up to Sasquatch Showdown on March 8th.
It was actually Sasquatch?
Sasquatch. Yeah, it's like a female Sasquatch. It's okay. Their...
She's sassy.
She's sassy, yeah.
Okay.
So, in all fairness, like, I had this planned out before not getting the World Cup, because I knew if we got the World Cup, my goal was to get all 50 states and D.C. before September of 27, which meant I had to go whole hog on really rushing through stuff. I don't have to do that anymore. I can really slow down, so that's nice. That's one nice thing. But yeah, went up there, and I don't have my notes, because here's what happened. I got COVID somehow. So either at the event, or the airport, or whatever, that week after I came back is kind of a blur.
Jennifer just recovered from flu B. I don't know what the difference between flu A and flu B is, yeah. But I did not see her for 9 days.
Huh, maybe that was it. I don't know. Whatever I got, it killed me. Like, I had no energy.
That's what she said. I saw her today before the podcast. Okay. She's like, I feel better, but I have zero energy.
Yeah, and I didn't feel bad for most of it. It's just, like, I literally would get off work and then just lay down and force myself to get up for something. And that was about it. So and this was, unfortunately, right before Lucifer Bowl Brawl. So I meant to get a whole lot of stuff done, and I didn't. So that kind of got shunted off. And really, this morning was the first day that I felt good after it. So I meant to do a write-up. I meant to find my notes. I meant to do all this.
Just swing it.
And I apologize for not being able to do so. But
nobody likes hearing about your matches anyway.
I know. So. Some people do. I've heard it.
Really?
Yeah. Some people say it's their favorite part, so I apologize.
I always wonder that because I'm like, should I just tell people the results?
It's 50-50.
of my matches.
So, first off, it was just a quick in and out kind of thing. So I flew in Friday night, stayed at a hotel, and the next morning Ted was nice enough to pick me up. You'll see his, I think, Rocky Ted is what he goes by on Facebook and such. He is an amazing painter.
Painter, yeah, sir. So he's a good painter.
Insanely good. So he picked me up, took me to the event. It was at a comic book store, Midgard Comics, I think. And a nice little place. But got to see a lot of the Pacific North guys. Nick Weiss was there, you know, Burke, and just everyone else.
What'd you play?
I played Nurgle with Skitter Stab Stab.
Nice.
And it seemed good. So I got paired up with Nick Weiss first round. And Nick was who I hung out with last time when I went to Vancouver. And he's an amazing coach. He's come in second at Chaos Cup before. He's done really well at World Cup, all this. Super great guy. Also really great coach.
Did you have sex with him?
Did not. Not this time. But
I was thinking that maybe where you got the COVID.
Oh, that's true. Can you get it orally?
I don't know what you do.
Okay, fair enough. So he was playing Skaven, and I made just a stupid mistake. Because I'm setting up, Skitter's got the ball, I'm protecting him on the side, and I've got everything set up and where he can't get to me unless he dodges like you do in a cage, that type of stuff. And then I realized he has gutter runners that can get to me and back. I was like, oh, damn it, I better move up one square just to protect myself from those gutter runners. And I did that without counting, without looking at stuff, and it put me right in that sweet spot of where you can blitz somebody in a cage and hit them. And I was like, shit. It was just a total mistake. And he got me. He got the ball. He ran away. And it just ended up being a 3-0 loss. It was not good. Second round, I played somebody else and did game thing.
Well, hold on a second. I'll help you out, okay?
Yeah. We'll go to NAF and look.
That's what I'm trying to get there right now. My computer's being slow, but here we go. Sassy Squatch. So round two, you played Raven Mojo, his Dark Elves. Or her Dark Elves. I don't know. Him, her. Played Dark Elves second round.
Okay.
You got a tie, 1-1.
Ah, yes. So I believe that was Eric. I did find my notes.
Okay. And then round.
I don't know what night. Oh, I knocked the crap out of guys and just, sorry.
Are you having a stroke?
I might be.
Are you thinking about?
No, is this corn or? Was it corn the second round? No.
Do we need to pause this? No.
Nobody cares. So I think this was the second round. This might, yeah. So yes, this was a tie. First half, I'm beating the crap out of his guys. I got a ton of KOs. I've gotten his.
Are you talking about the Skaven or the Dark Elves?
This is Dark Elves.
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
No, Skaven is first round.
Yeah, okay.
No, Dark Elves. I'm beating the crap out of him. I got a lot of his people out. Got his witch elf out. Think he had a star. Might have had a star out. Anyways, I've got so many people knocked out, I didn't score. And he proceeded to get enough people back to tie it up. Well, to score, and then I tied it up. And then third round, so for lunch, there was a Filipino place right around the corner. And I'll do better next, guys. Better next time.
Maybe. Yeah, we're really disappointed in you right now.
I know, but this is what you get. I blame COVID. Filipino food, they recommended it. I go there. I got chicken adobo and pork adobo or beef. Yeah, pork adobo, whatever. Disgusting. Like, just horribly disgusting. Maybe this is where I got the illness. I don't know. I was able to eat part of the beef or the pork, whatever it was. And then the chicken was just bones and pieces of bone and gristle. And then I had some rice. So that was not great. Go back for third round. And this is... Oh, yeah, because it was four rounds. That's what it was. Right as I go to kick off, I get a message in the family group text. I don't think anything about it. Then I get another one. Then I get another one. And then I get another one. I was like, oh, crap, what's going on? So apparently my dad had fallen, and my stepmom said that he had fallen a few days previously, and my dad is 87 right now.
He's old.
Yeah, yeah, 87. He turns 88 next month. So him falling is not good. So apparently he had to get to the hospital, got looked at, was released, but now stepmom is saying that he's not able to breathe well, he's unable to get out of the chair, blah, 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 all this stuff. So I'm freaking out, and I'm trying to play the game, and I'm texting my brother, like, hey, what's going on? Call dad, tell me what's going on. And he eventually messages me back and says, hey, it's not a big deal. I mean, he's old, but that's what old people do. And so at lunch, at halftime, I went and gave him a call and everything. So blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what happened there. And then we did a fourth round. So there's that. And I apologize to everybody. I don't have a clue what happened.
Okay.
It was a interesting date. I have my notes. I should have done better, but I didn't.
That's so. Okay. Round three. After you had crappy food, round three.
I just told you round three.
Oh, that was against the bear where you won 1-0?
Sure.
Against corn, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Corn.
Yeah.
Okay. Then round four, you played against halflings.
Didn't I lose this one?
Yeah, you lost 1-0.
Yeah, I think he's just beating the crap out of me, and I couldn't pick up the ball.
I mean, that sounds like Nurgle right there for you.
Yeah, because Skitter didn't do a whole heck of a lot the first three games. He was, like, okay-ish. But then this one, he just really shat the bed. Just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I understand. 1-0 to halfling. Did he get Stunty Cup because of you?
I don't know. I don't know who got what. It was a very well-run event. It was a good venue. I'm excited I got my 25th. That was awesome. They gave away full sets of Charlie Victor dice, which was nice, but no specialized dice for the event. So I feel kind of slighted that we didn't get a souvenir for the event.
Oh, you didn't get like the traditional feels like just an afterthought that we always get dice from an event.
Yeah, but the proves it's not really that. I mean, to me, and I go, this is probably just me, I would rather have just dice than a whole bunch of other stuff and no dice. Because at least I have something from the event that is specifically tied to the event.
I never use the dice almost ever, but it's a small memento that I can put in a little box. Mm-hmm. And you can store as many of those as you want. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't take up a lot of room. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, we had someone on Facebook ask about, you know, ideas for giveaways in an event. I was like, dice. The main thing I want to tell you is get those custom dice. Now, they put on a great show. It was run really well. It was using Terplay, if I remember correctly. And also, they got a lot of stuff from Coda Miniatures. So I reached out to them, and Coda's Miniatures will be sponsoring us as well for Oklahoma Bowl.
Cool.
Oh, and I won a team. A giant team that I had to somehow fit in my bag. I was able to, because I was able to unzip the bag, and it, like, extends. So then I go to get on the plane the next morning, and I had to check my bag. And I told them, I don't need to check that this is a personal item. This came over like this. This fits Frontier. Like, this is United. I'm like, Frontier is much more stringent than you are. They weren't having any of my shit. Like, well, I can just take you off the plane. That's fine. No, I need to get on the fucking plane to go home. But can you just measure it, since I know it fits inside the measurement? We don't have a tape measure. I'll just go ahead and remove you from the plane, and you can go up front to check in, and they can measure it there, and they can try to get you on a later flight. Like, no. How the fuck do you not have a tape measure? This is your one goddamn job. Like, I was nicer than that, but I was not super nice, Steve. I was very much pissed off, Steve. Why are you stealing $65 from me, Steve? And getting no... They were not listening. Like, just were not listening. Did not care. So I had to check my bag. And, of course, I complained, got my money back, and got a flight credit. But still, it's just ridiculous. I was so pissed off.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But you got number 25 marked off.
Yep, sure do. And okay. Number 26 will be this coming weekend when I go to Adepticon.
Man, you're going to have fun.
I hope so.
I'm going to try to send you a thing to see if you can find the thing at Adepticon for me.
Okay, I can do that.
So this last weekend,
mm-hmm.
you ran Bursifer Ball Lucifer. Or Bull.
You don't
is this
know
like
Lucifer?
Supposed to be a Bull Lucifer?
No, he's blue. Blue. So type in Lucifer to the Google machine.
Okay.
B-L-U.
I'm doing it right now. B U L.
No. I mean, you literally screwed up in the first three letters. B L U.
B L U.
Cipher.
B L U. That's what I did. B L U.
C I F E R.
C I F E R. Okay. He's a big. Oh, he's a sculpture by that artist I love. I love this artist.
He killed that artist.
He killed him?
He fell on him as he was being created.
Oh, maybe this is not the same guy. Is this the...
Lucifer, I don't know.
The Spanish guy?
I think so, but... Lucifer is the giant blue horse that is outside the Dallas International Airport. And he has shining red eyes. And he did indeed fall on the sculptor and kill him. So it's one of the many aspects of the Denver National Airport that people think it's haunted or part of the Illuminati or has lizard people or whatever you want to think. So I based the tournaments on that.
Yeah, there's an underground city in Colorado underneath the airport. I've heard about this.
Sure, yeah, of course.
This, I'm not 100% sure. But I am pretty sure that this is the same artist. When I was back in college, we had a demon horse just like this.
At OU. Yeah.
With the red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved this. And people, Jimenez. People hated that horse so much that they finally got it removed. And I'm like, aww. It's so different. And they're like, it's evil. It's like, oh my God.
People are
man,
stupid.
The horse killed him, man. This is blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. So Frontline Gaming was putting on Rocky Mountain Open, and they reached out to me through recommendations by Mark Perry to run the event. So we ran a sevens event on Sunday and the regular 11s on Saturday. And we ended up with 12 people for the 11s and I think 8 for the sevens. And we had Austin came in from Nebraska. We had Arthur from Colorado Springs. Russ Castronova came in from California. Had a guy from Durango. Had a guy from Boise. Some local people. A couple guys from Wyoming. So it was a lot of fun. And TJ Jackson went on to win both events. So,
well, that doesn't shock me.
Not a shock.
He's a good player.
And if you saw our trophies, they are based on Blucifer the statue, and they're amazing. Brian Ray.
I still think it's not because he's blue. I think it's because he's like a blue Lucifer, and it's a demon horse.
Well, yes, of course, but...
Yeah, I'm looking at this artist's Wikipedia, and it shows that there was a horse there at University of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, I remember seeing him all the time. Man,
this is just like Steve Irwin getting killed by the...
Stingray.
By the stingray, man. Like, it's just not fair.
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, when you make demon horses, I guess they're coming for your soul eventually, huh?
I would say nay.
Yeah, you would say nay. That was 19 years ago you passed away. Wow.
Jeez.
Okay.
So for the Lucifer Brawl, the 11s, as I said, TJ came in first. Sam Baird came in second. Stunty was Bill Winters. Brutal was Austin Faulkner. No surprise. Although he was playing Nurgle and not Norse that day.
So what was the winning race in the regular tournament? Remember what TJ was playing?
I should know this.
Well, not a big deal. I was just curious.
Well, you can go to bbtm.app and find out.
Okay. Well, I probably won't do that, but... Okay. Well,
I'm doing it right now, so you don't have to. And then
what do you play? Oh, you didn't play him in...
He played Snotlings on Sunday. Oh, he played Necro on first.
Oh, okay.
Sam Baird plays Ludwig's Main.
Snotlings won the sevens of it?
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
Wow. Okay.
Best offense was Arthur. Defense was Craig. And back of the pack went to Mark. Then on sevens, Austin came in second. TJ also got best stunty because he was the only stunty. Arthur got most brutal. Bill got best offense. I got best defense, so I was very happy to get one of the trophies. And I played Necro, and my werewolf died first game, and I totally forgot I had a regen.
I've been there. I understand.
Kind of stupid. And then Craig got back of the pack, and that was the first time Craig has ever gotten the last place award.
Is he happy?
No, he was not happy. What made it worse is
because you're not supposed to be happy. You don't want the last place award, people.
What made it worse is the statue is nice looking, so he didn't break it either. He always said the first time he'd get it, he'd break it, but he did not.
Hmm. Well, I'm sorry, Craig. I worry about that myself.
But we had a great time. 2 days of Blood Bowl. Kept it short. Three rounds. So no problem there. And it was just great hanging with a different group of people. A lot of people for the first time came out to tournaments. It was at, like I said, the convention or the gaming event. So it was nice to do that. And in fact, it was only 20 minutes from the house really helps. Anything else? Oh, like I said, we did Blood Bowl Tournament Manager, bbtm.app. Sean Huberman created that. I cannot say enough nice things about it. It's night and day between that and Turplay. Turplay, you have to hit start. You have to ask if you want to use the roles. You have to input it casually. You have to say, you know, who did what casualty and all this other stuff. BBTM is basically just, did you get a touchdown? Yeah. Okay. One touchdown. Did you get a casualty? Yeah. Okay. One casualty. And at the end of it, you just make sure that each person's match, you hit submit and it's done. So we will be using that for tournaments on here on out.
So no more score.
No, no. Unless we just have to for some reason. Like it was bad internet, but.
Okay, you said, I said Snotlings won sevens. You said we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah. It's a big difference when you can field twice as many people as other people based on Riot as rookies.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I mean, you add five or six people every game, even if they're one strength on sevens, that's huge.
Okay, that's fair. I knew there, when you said that, I knew there had to be some gimmick I wasn't thinking about.
Now, of course, he's a good player. He had a good roster, all that stuff.
Sure.
But having those extra pieces is just huge. I, on the opposite side, sort of, played on a pitch that was all orange, like bright orange, and it had an outer edge of brown. So I thought the outer edge of brown was out of bounds, as you would think. So I crowd surfed a guy, rolled, and got a casualty. I'm like, sweet, he's gone. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? Roll armor. I mean, roll casualty. I go, I just did. He goes, what? I just surfed him. He's out. He's like, that's the last square of the pitch. And I looked at it closer. I go, oh, damn it. So don't design pitches that way, people. Like, yeah, I should have known better, but you go by visual cues sometimes.
No, I get it. I've done the same thing, and I'd like to blame it not on my age as I get older, but other things. But it is what it is.
But aside from that, that was pretty much it. I am going to Adepticon this weekend, playing the 2 days there, get in early Friday, so hopefully have some time to look around the venue and stuff.
Good.
And I'm playing Halflings because I got my Halfling team from Dustin all painted up. So I'm taking Deep Root, two rerolls, no special Halflings, all regular Halflings.
Oh, that's the way to roll.
And the Chef. And yep. I'm just going to hurt people. Block onto the trees and then sneaky get onto the Halflings.
No stars?
Deep Root.
Just Deep Root. Okay.
Yeah. He's enough. But yeah, Adepticon only does casualties based on actual regular blocks.
Like so, everything should, yes.
Right. So that's becoming more and more rare nowadays. So I'm taking this as an opportunity to try to do my best to possibly get most casualties because it's been a while since I got one of those awards. And I don't want to try to play Halflings competitively.
Totally get that.
But looking forward to it.
Good luck on that.
Thank you. I think that's all.
Yeah. I think that was a lot.
Yeah. And
you ran a tournament, played a tournament, and played a sevens tournament, so while running it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive.
I believe I went 1-1-1 on the sevens, which is what it is.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
All right, well, I guess we'll wrap this up and come back with something people have been bugging me about for a while. What are we doing about Oklahoma Bowl?
Yeah, I'm ready to hear it myself. So we'll take a quick break and come right back.
And last segment for today before we get to shout-outs. It's time to talk about Oklahoma Weekend 2025.
Yay!
You completely cut out.
Yay!
That's better. So I know that we have floated the picture around of us as Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees, made by the amazing... Do you remember who?
Do you not? Is that why you're asking me?
I mean, of course, it's Christian Schwager.
Okay.
I just want to put you on the spot.
I was like, does Steve know who this is? And then when you did that, I was like, he doesn't know.
No. Sure, it might have taken me a second. But
if you don't know Christian Schwager, he does the artwork. He took over the artwork chores in the Spike magazines for the Blood Bowl comic. And he does he works as a professional artist, so he's always doing stuff, whether it's gaming things or whatever. So.
And he did the team designs and stuff for the Dornburn World Cup, and he's just amazing. But yeah, he did us as the big deal, as Jason and Freddy. And that's because this year we're doing Oklahoma Bowl 13, The Return of Nuffleween.
In case you're not educated or don't care, when Steve lived here, every year we did a Nuffleween tournament around, it was usually the first weekend of November.
We like to say it was as close as possible to 11/11.
Yeah,
but we just made sure it was after Halloween so we can get cheap candy.
Yeah, most of the time it fell usually the first or second weekend of November.
Right.
It's kind of our version of made-up fluff for the Blood Bowl world and how they celebrate Halloween. Instead, it's Nuffleween. And so since we haven't ran any Nuffleween since Steve went away, because he hates us here in Oklahoma, we are now doing it for Oklahoma Bowl 13. And we got some other surprises for Oklahoma Bowl 13.
And, I mean, it is 13, so what better time to bring back Nuffleween, right?
No, I agree. We were both synced up on this.
Mm-hmm. And also, for a while now, Scott's been wanting to do Oklahoma as a two-day event. And, of course, if we did that, then what are we doing with Spiky Cup? Well, we have decided to do Oklahoma Bowl as a two-day event. Saturday, three games. Sunday, two games. So, five rounds over 2 days. That means Spiky will now be a sevens event on Friday. So, instead of being after as a palate cleanser, it's going to be before as an aperitif.
So just so everybody knows, and I'm not going to quote the prices because I do not have them in front of me. If you're paying for a ticket, you're paying for a ticket all weekend.
Yep.
And the however you want to look at it, you pay one price. You don't want to play Spiky Cup. No big deal. We get it. Because you want to go out to eat or hang out with your friends or go to the bar.
Or just won't be there in time or something. Yeah. Whatever.
Exactly. So Spiky and Oklahoma Bowl, there's no options this year. It's just one fee. And if you want to look at it, the nice way is like Oklahoma Bowl is X amount of dollars and anybody can play Spiky for free if Absolutely. You want to look at it that way. Or you're paying the fee to play Spiky Cup and you can play Oklahoma for free, however you want to look at this. But,
or half, however you, yeah. And there's another reason we're doing that, because we can't do a Friday event at Wizard Asylum, unfortunately, because they have making too much money on a Friday night for us to go in and shut them out of that. So we're doing, since Scott got to do something he's been wanting to do for a while, I'm going to do something I've wanted to do for a while, and that is hold the event at a hotel for the weekend. So the Hilton Garden Inn, right behind Ted's Escondido Cafe, right by Wizards. It's half a mile away, if that, will be hosting us.
So if you're still loyal to Wizards, or I know there's a few people who would like come in and go buy some comics or a board game because it was a great excuse, you still can do that. It really is, if you wanted to, you could walk. I mean, like if the Swedes were here, they'd walk over to Wizards.
And we plan to still support them as well. Like we will be buying Blood Bowl merchandise from them. If they can provide us a coupon, then that'd be great if people can go over there and buy something.
But yeah, I haven't talked to them about that. But for those of you who are staying, so what this means is basically this is like a Chaos Cup feel, except on a smaller level.
Unless there's going to be unless we really take off
300 people there. I mean, then we're going to say we're bigger than Chaos Cup. The hotel is within walking distance of about 3 or 4, it may be even 5 or 6, depending on how far you want to walk, restaurants.
Yeah, for sure.
There's Ted's, which is a Mexican food place. There's Chewy's. There's a Cracker Barrel. There is a Red Lobster not far away.
Outback. So,
Outback Steakhouse and stuff like
Japanese
that.
So
there is places to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know if Steve has it confirmed, but supposedly when I talked to them just to check out the hotel, they said that they would have somebody on staff to have like an open bar, like at night, if there was a crowd to, you know, warrant that, you know, if people wanted to play board games, you know, after the games.
Yeah.
And that's what we kind of hope happens. We hope that people come into town early, maybe play some board games in wherever, play sevens after everything shuts down, play some more board games. I still believe that we have a fairly early kickoff time on Saturday morning, but they're only going to run three rounds. So your first night, I mean, we should in theory wrap up, I don't remember the schedule, but five-ish instead of eight-ish.
Yeah, let me get
and back this will allow. This will allow people to go out to eat somewhere else that they might want. I know there's a lot of people who like to go bar hopping and just hang out with their buddies and stuff. It will allow that. And for the gamers, they can stay at the hotel and game all weekend if they want. Bring your board games, find some other people to play games.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, we have two rounds. And then it should, you know, always before, some people would be like, oh, man, if we could wrap things up, I need to leave at 4 o'clock or this or that. Should be able to get everybody out of there in plenty of time to hit the road, whether they're going back to Texas, Nebraska, wherever, or if they're taking a flight out. Should have plenty of time to do all that.
Yeah, so looking at our schedule, we got end of day at 5 p.m. on Saturday and end of day 2 p.m. on Sunday. And if you know us, we're pretty close to keeping those times. And as I said, we'll be using Blood Bowl Tournament Manager for this. So that should really keep us on schedule. We were ahead of schedule this whole weekend because it takes nothing for that program to just to make sure everything's good. Next round. There you go.
So people from out of town, however you want to sell this to you, I'm a little worried about being at the hotel. Steve is really excited about it. Steve's probably a little worried about like just doing Oklahoma for 2 days. I'm kind of excited just to see where it goes with the extra round because for several years now, like, you know, it's come down to some like points and stuff like that. Not always, but you know what I'm saying? Like we should have some more clear cut winners and stuff like that for some of the awards. It should be interesting. Besides that, we finally get to do what we both always wanted to do, which is kind of have like a gaming con weekend thingy with a bunch of people that we love to see and pal around with or whatever. So
yeah, it's always frustrating to hang out with people and be like, okay, well, it's 7 o'clock. Let's go try to get some food and be together at a crowded restaurant. Can't hear about the next people next to you. And then be like, well, I guess we're going to go to bed.
Right.
So this is, like I said, a first time experience. Hopefully we can continue doing this. I love Wizard Asylum. You and I have spent many years there running events. You work there. We both had a hand in reorganizing and moving the store when it came over. So, like, I have a vested interest in the survival of the store. I do love it. But if we are outgrowing it, which, let's be honest, last couple of times, it's been very packed. And unfortunately, we just kind of didn't advertise that much because we knew we didn't want to get too many more than 50, and we got 50 no problem. So now we should be able to accommodate a lot more. So if you've ever thought about coming, and this is the year we're going to put, I mean, last year we did a lot of giveaway stuff. So we did the figure and we did the weather counter, both which were amazing, both which were very expensive. And I still got a whole bunch of those Pedro Ramos drummers sitting around that I did not think I would. So this year we might be having a figure, not going to have anything from Charlie Victor, unless something drastically changes. But I will be getting sponsorship stuff from other places. And I just put in an order today for, what was it, 4 teams and a couple of sevens pitches or something for giveaways and
So all for the first time, for the first time, at least from my perspective, because I've always been able to just ask for a time at Wizards, and he's been really happy to host us, and you know, doesn't charge us anything. Now we're dealing with like paying the hotel.
Yep.
So it's a different challenge. I still, half of me wishes like we still did this at Wizards, if you want me to be truthful.
Of course, me too.
I'm a little scared about the hotel, and at the same time, you guess you got to try it before you can totally eliminate. Like, for example, if this just doesn't work out or it becomes too much hassle and stuff like that,
yeah,
we always have a great default that we can go back to the store. And if it works out great and we see maybe this is the first year that we see attendance, you know, bloom to like 80 or 90 people.
That would be
then
insane.
We know that we're going in the right direction. And this allows people to, if they're going to get a room, they can stay at the hotel.
Yes.
And they can just walk right down to the, you know, the area to game. So
we will
it shall
have...
be. Shall be interesting. Yeah. It will be disappointing if we get like 20 people, but
oh,
it,
God.
And at the same time, it will be disappointing, but it would probably be a very intimate and really fun setting because we would get to hang out with everybody and play board games with everybody.
And you'll get to see Steve drunk. So there is that.
And oh, Steve's going to get drunk?
If we don't get enough people to cover the room. Yeah. I think we'll be fine. And believe the early bird price is going to be $60. It's not that outrageous of a price for two events, lots of giveaways, as you know, we always do, and a room that you get to play in. We should have a hotel link shortly that I'll put on the rules site and the website and the rules pack and everything so that you can get a discounted rate at the venue. Seems to be a nice place. It's a Hilton, so that always helps. And I'm looking forward to it. I know, as you said, it's a different take on things. And I've not ran too many Sevens events. And this is really veering away from the usual motif of the regular event and then a goofy event. Spiky will still have some goofiness to it. You'll have to look at the how to build a team there. That'll be a fun one for you. And then we are changing how trick-or-treat was done. If you've been to previous Nuffleweens, you can look at that on the rule set, and it'll be a very interesting take.
And maybe next episode we'll go over that detail by detail. At some point in the next two episodes, We're going to go over both of those things in case you're on the struggle bus and stuff.
Yeah, but, don't want to do it now, but
we should get the information. If you are ready for some Blood Bowl weekend, again, it's going to be one location. So if you do want to drink and get stinking drunk or whatever with your buddies, because it's fun to do that and play, you know, what is it, the Red Dragon Inn or whatever games it is, you don't have to drive around either. I mean, that's the good thing, right? Because you can be at the hotel. You can get your beer or whatever.
You can literally get, like you said, real good food within walking distance.
There is options within walking distance. You can just stay in one location. You can play board games all night. You can hang out, whatever. So I hope it works out really well for us. I'm trying to think really positive, even though, like, the back of my brain, I'm trying to think of everything that could go wrong. But, I mean, that doesn't get you anywhere. So we're going to keep the positive vibes and look forward to trying something new out, right? Why not? Yeah.
I guess we should probably say when it is. It's the last weekend of June. So,
which is?
It's a month in the year. The 27th, 28th, and 29th of June.
Right. So if you do drive in, Friday night now is important. So if you want to be a part of every part of the event, make sure you put that time in now. And and I say that jokingly, but at the same time, I put that time in now.
Yeah.
Because my job, I can, so I did.
My job wants me to do stuff a year in advance. I talked to my boss today going, I don't know how they expect me to do that. He goes, yeah, just send me the stuff you need. We can work it out. I go, okay.
That's crazy.
But, yeah.
I know some jobs are like that, though, year in advance type thing. But yeah, looking forward to it. We'll see how it goes and see.
I'm super excited. If it's even close to the experience we had at some of the previous Chaos Cups, even obviously the current ones, I discount because so many people there. But, you know, some of those earliest Chaos Cups when there was 50, 60 people and everybody knew everybody and it was just hanging out all weekend, some of the best times.
That really is like the real goal here is to capture the first and second Chaos Cups that we went to, where it was, like you said, where there was 50 to 60. I'm just saying,
the first was where you screwed up on the time and we got to the dinner right as everyone's finishing up.
I don't remember that.
I know you don't. It was at the bunker, remember?
And we got to the restaurant late?
Yeah, we were all freaking out and you had the wrong time. And we got there like an hour late. And it was all done by the time we got there.
Huh. Okay. I remember having a good time with everybody.
Well, there was that too, but yeah.
Anyways, we can do it all within the hotel because it won't even be like the bunker because we had to travel to our little Red Roof Inn or wherever. Mm-hmm. So this should be better than that, but it should stack up with that Palatine era of Chaos Cup where it was became 60 people and 70 yeah. people and stuff like that. So I'm hoping we can really pack the house this year because we also need that too. So
I think, like I said, we should be good based on the number of people we normally get is what I'm basing everything on. And I think we should get more people. Also, as I said, we will have a raffle. And, you know, that raffle goes towards us for doing future tournaments so that we can have money in advance to do stuff like this, you know. Because they require upfront payment for a lot of stuff. And then nowadays, with people getting sponsorships, it's not that they just send you stuff. It's like, well, if you order $200 from us, then we'll send you this, this, and this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. So.
But, yeah. Anyways, should be awesome. Website should be updated shortly. It depends on when Scott puts this out. But yeah, I should have everything hopefully done this week.
And if you're hearing this and you're already starting to think about like what Seven Seam to build, don't even start because the rules are really, really, really weird.
It is going to be listed as a draft event. Put it that way.
Right.
And I got to get these rules put into the NAF so they can get it approved or tell me to go to hell. And then possibly change them. So
yeah, the Sevens will be a draft event, and the other one will be a regular event.
Yeah,
if people care about their rankings in the NAF, and I know some people do.
Of course they do. Yeah.
Anything else you got there, buddy?
No, I think we are good. If you have anything you want to donate, like I said, if anyone is out there wanting to donate their time or give us a little bit of a discount on getting some stuff painted, that would be awesome. We do have a bunch of teams available to be painted. I know people enjoy the painted teams more than just loose teams, so always happy to do so.
Sounds good, my man.
Hey, okay. Let's wrap this up and come back with some shout-outs.
You got it.
And the final part of the episode for real this time, for realsy reels, for shoutsy outs.
Shout outs. Did that sound like a demon horse? Because I'd like to shout out Luis Jimenez, who made the demon horse a great topic of art when I was in school at the University of Oklahoma. And I loved his horse and his red eyes. And I'm probably more bothered than I'd like to admit that that guy died by one of his this blue horse falling on him. A shout out to him or his family if they're listening. I love the horse.
If anyone from his family is listening to this, please reach out to us because what the hell? Small world indeed.
That would be amazing. I loved the demon horse. At night, you could walk campus and see these red eyes. Oh, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
And I thought it was the coolest thing when they had one here. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, that's why I themed it after that. And that's a local known thing.
Yeah, I mean, they were like fiberglass sculptures. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it was amazing. Okay, that was my shout-out.
Shout-out to everyone who came to the events or ran the events or I played against and I totally forgot and all this fun stuff. Make sure you're getting your shots for flu and COVID because you don't want to get it. It's not fun. And Shout out to Frontline Gaming for letting me run their events. Hopefully should have some more information about that next time. And don't forget Atlantic City Open coming up. I've got Adepticon coming up. What else we got coming up?
Let me look. Did you know I joined the Violent Femmes this last weekend? I meant to talk about that in the opening.
I saw you went to the show.
I did go to the show, and I, dude, it was, I know everybody goes to every concert and goes, it was amazing. It was the best show I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It really was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I do not do a lot of concerts. I probably have 20 to 30 in my life, probably. That goes back to like the small concerts in college, you know, at the bar and stuff like that. They played their first two albums. And I know their first two albums a lot because those are the two albums I listen to the most.
Yeah.
About 5 minutes before it started, there was an announcement that says, welcome to our first two album tour or something like that. They said, we're going to start at 8 o'clock. We're going to play this Hallowed Ground first. We're going to take an intermission. We're going to come back and play our first album. Then we're going to leave the stage. You guys are going to cheer and demand an encore, and then we're going to come out and play two more songs, and then we're going to wrap it up. And I'm not kidding. Like at 8 o'clock on the dot, they came out. Their first two albums are not very long, 45 minutes or so or less. They played the second album first. They took their intermission. It was about 15 minutes. Right on the dot, 9 o'clock, they started their first album. Played through the whole thing to about, I'd say, 9:40. They left the stage. They weren't even gone 5 minutes. They came right back on. They played the two next biggest hits that I know of from their next two albums, like the best song in each one of those. And then they were done. They said, thank you very much. They told one story the whole time. And otherwise, it was just business. And it was songs. And I sung to every song. I felt like I was a member of the Violent Femmes, and it was awesome.
I don't know a single song by them. Like, I guarantee you, I know. Okay, see, I know that. Yeah, I was say I don't.
On Daddy Gone.
Yeah, obviously.
You probably know a lot of the first album stuff.
I'm sure I know songs by them, but I could not name a single one.
I totally get it. Yeah. I mean, like, it was, they played Jesus Walking on the Water. They played. I was just like,
that's awesome.
And I'm. They have to be in their 60s now, but they sounded really good.
Hmm.
For a live concert, and the concert itself, the music wasn't so loud that my ears weren't ringing throughout the night after the concert. I mean, it was, let's put it this way. I get there. The show starts at 8. This is at the Criterion down in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
We drive back. I'm in my house by 10:20. That's the perfect how efficient old man it
band.
Was.
The perfect old man band.
Yes, it was great. There was no opening act. There was no BS. And the fact that I think they played two albums that I'm most familiar with is, it would be just like if you got to pick, hey Steve, Weird Al's in town. You get to pick the 14 songs you want. That would probably be the best Weird Al concert you've ever been to, right?
Yeah, probably.
Because you got to. It was all stuff you love because you picked them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just like right up my wheelhouse. So I think the combination of first time seeing them, even though way after their prime, it was just everything was just great.
That's awesome.
I don't know how my old man bladder, I didn't even go to the bathroom during the break. I just was like, I went there and stayed in my one spot. Unfortunately, I had to stand the whole time. And man, at 51, because I had a birthday since the last podcast, man, standing up all day sucks. And I had to work the shop that day too. We were busy as hell. So it was like 9 straight hours of standing on my feet. I was ready for bed by the time that was over. But I'm basically a member of the Violent Femmes because I sang all those songs with them.
Oh, congratulations. I'm sure you'll get your royalties shortly.
Oh, I don't really need it. Just
that's fair.
The fact that I was a part of them, I mean, like, I probably needed that more than they needed me. So
yeah.
Anyways, I know that's not on the shout-outs. No, why, but I meant to talk about it in the opening segment, and I forgot. So
that's cool, though. Yeah. I think that's it.
There was somebody I was going to shout-out, but I just cannot remember.
Just released today a joint collaboration between James Luft and Grant up in Canada, of the patch for donating blood. Did you see that?
Yes, I did see this.
So if you go to our Facebook or you go to just anywhere, like, you'll see it. But let me go ahead and click on it so I can read it in full. It is the upcoming World Blood Donor Day on Saturday, June 14th. And blah, 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 blah. So they partnered with graphic designer, illustrator Tom Hollingworth of King Monday. He's the one who did our Oklahoma and Spiky Bowl poster from last time, to create a one-of-a-kind patch to signify your donation and say thank you for filling the need and possibly saving a life. Any coach who donates whole blood, platelets, or double red cells on Saturday, June 14th, plus or minus a week, will get this patch absolutely free. Grant covers the cost in Canada. James will cover the cost in the USA. Anywhere else, you got to pay shipping. Otherwise, if you're not able to for some reason, afraid of needles, medical reasons, anything like that, as long as you make a minimum donation of $10 to any organization that promotes blood donation, if you're in a region or country, just fill out the form and show it, and they'll send you a patch. It's a really cool patch. It's half donate for the hungry with vampires and donate for the blood god with corn.
Yeah, I thought it was actually a really cool idea and stuff to get people motivated. So
yeah,
hats off to them, especially since they're going to eat all the cost of all that stuff. But I did want to shout out, there's two other things I wanted.
Hey, well, unfortunately, we are out of time, so I'm just going to
cut. Okay.
We'll save that for next time. No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. Talking to a former Blood Bowler, and I'm saying this as a guy who is, I told you, like, sometimes I wonder if I even should play Blood Bowl anymore because I'm just so a little burnt out. And I think, honestly, a lot of it is self-pressure. Anyways, I talked to a guy who used to listen to the podcast all the time, and we haven't spoken probably 3 or 4 years. He reached out and just said hi, and I said hi back and stuff. And he talked about how Blood Bowl was so great. And then everybody got too serious. I said the same thing to him that I'm going to say now. While there is better players maybe now than ever, because just more people are playing the game, yeah, and there's outlets to play the digital game, to practice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I totally disagree. I don't think that the people have turned bad at all.
No, definitely not.
Because I heard the words like toxic use, and I was like, I think, like, number one, you're putting too much pressure on yourself to win, and that does jade us, including myself, because when I go to an event and I expect to do XYZ and I don't do it and I don't have fun because I put these high expectations on myself, that does not change the culture, though. I mean, like, everybody else there is having their fun in their own ways, whether I like their team names or not or anything like that. So I just wanted to say that I still think that we have a very good environment, and to me it's only over the years have gotten better because more people are even more giving. Like, the Blood Bowl community is a very, very giving community, and I don't even know how some people can afford what they do and do give and stuff, but it's much appreciated. So I just wanted to say, like, to this person, come back and play some Blood Bowl. Give everybody a chance. Don't put any pressure on yourself. I should listen to my own advice. And just try to have some fun, because the community is not toxic. It's not a bunch of sweaty guys getting worried about wins all the time. People are trying to win. That includes me. And I have since the very beginning.
Yeah, of course.
I'm never just going to go, oh, well, I lost, because that's just not my personality. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and especially since I just came from that convention with a whole bunch of different games, and I had time to walk around and talk to people. Blood Bowl is that game that does not have bad people, for the most part. There can be one or two, of course, of anything. But it's the game that other people are like, man, I really got to go play that sometime, because you guys always seem like you're having fun. And if I talk to other organizers, you know, they often were talking about how the difference of the games are. And I'm like, well, We're playing for a stupid plastic trophy. That's it. There's nobody really going out of their way to just dominate and cheat. And talking to a guy this last time at Malifaux, you know, Malifaux has its own issues, and you get people who are too into it or trying too much to win because there's big prizes on the line and all that type of stuff. At Washington, they were going to give away, you know, first place got the best prize, second place got the second best, that type of thing. And I talked to the guy and I was like, you know, look, I'm not trying to force my way onto anything, but I will say that what we have found is providing a chance at everyone to win something randomly and not rewarding the people who win is much better. It's much more fun. And he actually took it upon himself to talk to the people at the event and say, hey, anyone here care if we change it? Because I like this idea. And he did change it. So it was not the people who won stuff also winning the prizes. It separates it out. So everybody has a chance.
But,
I mean, and then I benefited because I donated and got a team. So
well, there you go. The next thing I wanted to say is, like, you probably remember last year, Jennifer threw a big surprise birthday party for me for my 50th birthday. Mm-hmm. This year was quite the opposite. If you could have a night and day type atmosphere, last year was maybe day or however you want to look at it. And this year was quite lonely in a lot of ways. Jennifer had the flu. My children had and it was planned for weeks. They had an event to go with to their mom, and it happened to fall on my birthday. I legit had nothing to do and nobody home. I went and worked the comic store because I legit had nothing to do.
Yeah.
And it was like, sit here and feel kind of poo poo about myself. And at least a lot of us are still 10 years old inside, even though it feels stupid to celebrate your birthday. It's kind of fun to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah, of course.
Now, at work, I had a great day. A guy brought a cake and left it for me to take home. I found it at the end of the day, and I had another coworker who took me out to eat. But that was the highlight of my birthday, because when I came home, it was like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So what I'm saying is, since this is shout-outs, a lot of people reached out through Facebook. And this year, those Facebook little happy birthdays and memes meant way more than you could possibly imagine this year. Because that's all I had. And it was a very contrasting moment of thinking of last year with this big giant party thing to this year of like, well, hell, I might as well just go work the shop. At least I'll be around humans and I can earn some money for comic books. So, and I know other people have lonely birthdays too. So I'm just saying thank you for anybody who reached out. And if you don't reach out on Facebook, no big deal. I try not to beat myself up when I forget somebody's stuff. It's like I either catch it or I don't. But for those who did reach out, thank you. It was really much appreciated, especially this year with Jennifer with the flu. I didn't even get to see my girl and hang out or anything like that. So it was definitely strange and different this year. So,
anyways. To end on a downer, I guess?
That wasn't a downer. I was saying thank you. I really appreciate the...
Okay.
I mean, not only did I have a bunch of people on Facebook, I had way more people. Some people I didn't even know had my number text me and say happy birthday.
And then what did you get in the mail the other day, shortly afterwards, that confused you?
Oh, Steve sent me. So you know how they go to the comic store and they put your comics in a little bag, sometimes a little plastic bag or a paper bag. Mm-hmm. Steve found Marvel 25th anniversary bags from like 1986. Two bags. I thought somebody ripped me off. And like it was a package from eBay and they like stole the package and stuff out of it. But there was two little bags in there that could hold about 10 comics each. One side was talking about the Marvel 25th anniversary. The other side, did you notice what's on the other side?
Had the photos, didn't it? Or the pictures?
It had the new universe ad of the new universe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So one side was the photo with the 25th anniversary talking about that. The other side was the new universe, which was Star Brand and Night Mask and Spitfire and DP7 and Justice Merc. And there was one other like Team Kickers then Psyforce. Yeah. Those were the titles. I remember them because that's about the time I started reading comics. So I thought those were the coolest things ever. And they really suck. So
see, you have two now. You can display them both on the wall. But yes,
I don't know what I'm going to do with two bags?
I don't know, dude. It goes with the comic and the poster from last year.
That's fair. Anyways, so yeah, it's just really weird. Like,
well, on my 50th, then we will have to decide what to do.
Yeah, we're going to have a giant party and celebrate like America the day before.
Yep. Fucking America.
We could pop firecrackers on your birthday since we could get them the day before.
That's true. Yeah. Hey, I think that's all we got. We'll be back next month with some other stuff. Who knows?
I still think I'm missing a shout out that I was going to mention somebody here, but I can't remember it at this point. After my two other tangents, we're just not going to do that. So okay. As the, you know, extra member of Violent Femmes, and then, I mean, Steve's basically a Cub, Chicago Cub. I think I'm going to let you sign us off there, Steve.
Getting up at 4 a.m. to watch the Cubs lose two games to the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're a real moron.
It was fun.
Yeah, I bet it was awful.
I would rather they'd won. Oh, Blood Bowl 3 has the Amazons now. That's cool.
Okay.
That's all I got. I've got to say that.
Okay.
Okay, we will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to @BDApproved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is BothDownPodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at BothDown.com or at Facebook.com/BothDown.